Coming right up, Legally Blonde, where the law meets fashion. The Devil Wears Prada, where fashion is law. Movie battle begins now.
Welcome to Movie Battle. Each episode, superfans battle it out to see which film is best. Here's your host, Kevin Armstrong.
What is up, party people? Welcome to Movie Battle. I am your host, Kevin Armstrong. This is episode 11, Legally Blonde versus The Devil Wears Prada. Both of these films are classic fish-out-of-water tales and represent strong female empowerment. We will bring the superfans out in just a few, but first, here are some facts and tidbits. Legally Blonde is directed by Robert Luketic. The screenplay is by Karen McCullough and Kristen Smith, based on the novel Legally Blonde by Amanda Brown. Legally Blonde stars Reese Witherspoon, Luke Wilson, Selma Blair, Matthew Davis, Victor Garber, and Jennifer Coolidge. It was released July 13th, 2001, with a budget of $18 million and grossed $141.8 million at the box office. Legally Blonde has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 70%. Devil Wears Prada is directed by David Frankel. The screenplay is by Aileen Brosh McKenna, based on the novel The Devil Wears Prada by Lauren Weisberger, who also makes a cameo as the twins' nanny. Devil Wears Prada stars Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Stanley Tucci, Simon Baker, Emily Blunt, and Adrian Grenier. It was released June 30th, 2006, with a budget of $35 million and grossed $327.9 million at the box office. The Devil Wears Prada has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 75%. Legally Blonde is based on Amanda Brown's experience as a blonde at Stanford Law School, while being obsessed with fashion and beauty, reading Elle magazine, and clashing with her peers. Brown wrote the manuscript and had no takers. She then resubmitted on pink paper and got the attention of an agent. This would lead to a bidding war for the rights. When the studio first greenlit the project, they did not realize it would be structured as a progressive, feel-good women's empowerment movie. They were envisioning more of a raunchy campus comedy with sorority parties and wet t-shirt contest. The film is primarily set at Harvard, but the campus scenes were filmed at USC, UCLA, California Institute of Technology, and Rose City High School in Pasadena, California. Production lasted from October to December 2000. For The Devil Wears Prada, 20th Century Fox bought the rights to the novel in 2003 before it was completed for publication. However, it was not greenlit until Streep was attached. Vogue editor Anna Wintour is believed to be the basis for Miranda Priestly. Many designers and fashion notables avoided appearing as themselves for fear of displeasing her. Wintour has gone on record as saying she liked the film, Streep in particular. Streep made a conscious decision not to play the part as a direct impression of Wintour, not using an accent and making the character American rather than English. Streep actually got Miranda's soft speaking style from Clint Eastwood. Aileen Brosh McKenna cited Don Rickles as her main influence for the insults and dialogue. Inspiration to satire the fashion industry was taken from Ben Stiller's 2001 comedy Zoolander. That Hansel, he's so hot right now. Filming lasted 57 days, primarily in New York City, with additional filming in Paris. For Legally Blonde, Lutz and Smith spent 2 days on Stanford's campus doing research for the screenplay in the spring of 2000. Charlize Theron, Gwyneth Paltrow, Alicia Silverstone, Katherine Heigl, Christina Applegate, Mila Jovovich, and Jennifer Love Hewitt were all considered for the role of Elle. They envisioned Luke Wilson as they were coming up with the love interest. They auditioned several other actors before they actually said, "How about we audition Luke Wilson for the Luke Wilson role?" Witherspoon researched the role by studying sorority girls on college campuses and taking them out to dinner. She admired how important these women valued each other's friendship. Reese and costume designer Sophie DeRakoff really liked each other and bonded over a mutual obsession with Dolly Parton. Witherspoon sported 40 different hairstyles in the film. For The Devil Wears Prada, Rachel McAdams actually declined several offers to play Andy, while Anne Hathaway actively sought the part. Once she booked it, Hathaway prepared by volunteering for a week as an assistant at an auction house. According to Weisberger, she was really put through the ringer. Streep told Hathaway when they first started, "I think you're perfect for the role, and I'm so happy we're going to be working on this together." Then warned her, "That was the last nice thing I will say to you." The stiletto heel ending in a pitchfork logo was just meant to be preliminary as the film's teaser poster, but was so effective that it was used for every medium related to the film and has become its own iconic brand. Legally Blonde was nominated for 2 Golden Globes, Best Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy, as well as Witherspoon for Best Actress, Musical or Comedy. Meryl Streep was nominated for her record 14th Best Actress Academy Award, as well as the Golden Globe for Best Actress, Comedy or Musical. Legally Blonde has a theatrical sequel, 2003's Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde, as well as 2007's direct-to-DVD release, Legally Blondes, which was produced by Reese Witherspoon and stars Camilla and Rebecca Rose as Elle's British twin cousins. Legally Blonde, the musical, premiered on Broadway in 2007. In 2013, Lauren Weisberger wrote a sequel, Revenge Wears Prada. Streep has no interest in doing a sequel. There were also talks of a television dramedy series in 2007, but it never made it past those talks and a pilot was never filmed. A musical has been in the works since 2013 and was to premiere in the summer of 2020, but was unable to because of the pandemic. Anna Wintour attended the film's New York City premiere wearing Prada. What else? In a 2016 10th year anniversary article for Variety, Hathaway said that she thinks many people relate to Andy's predicament of working for someone who seems impossible to please. Reese Witherspoon says, "At least once a week, a woman comes up to me and says she went to law school because of Legally Blonde. It's incredible. You can be unapologetically feminine, but also smart and driven." There you have it. 2 great films with an amazing message of women's empowerment. We'll be right back with the superfans. Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our first guest is Jill Brandenburg. Jill is what they call a serial entrepreneur. She has had a wedding planner business, ran Can You Rob a Bank, an escape room in Dallas for 3 years before the pandemic hit. Jill has used the quarantine time to finish writing a book and is now focused on launching her public speaking career. Jill currently lives in Dallas, Texas. She has 1 son, Dylan, who is 28 and an attorney. Jill would also like you to know she is a Delta Zeta. Jill, welcome to Movie Battle.
Hi, Kevin, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We are very, very pleased to have you here tonight. Jill, how would your parents describe what you do for a living?
Okay, so my mom was an entrepreneur.
Okay.
Later in life. So she would understand, I think, the journey that I am on. My dad, well, I was actually in graphic design and had gone to art school, but I was in graphic design for about 20 years. So wow. I don't think it wouldn't have mattered what business I would have done. My dad would have always thought of me as an artist. So.
That's great. Jill, who plays you in a movie about your life?
Reese Witherspoon, without
wow.
a doubt.
Okay, and, yes. And
which is kind of ironic, of course, based on me being a super fan of Legally Blonde. But yes, I believe that she would be the perfect representation of me in the movie of my life. Oh, I was going to say, which is really funny because I actually posted a comment about that back in 2014 on Facebook. When somebody had said something, when I first really started trying to get my book finished, and somebody had asked me, and she was who I chose then, and I've not wavered from that.
Oh, that's amazing. It's so fitting because, you know, I mean, not only is she a great actress in the role she plays, you know, she plays different kinds, but she definitely plays, you know, powerful women. But, you know, in real life, she's a real mover and a shaker. She does a lot of producing and gets a lot of this stuff out. So
Yeah, I think that would be a perfect fit.
Yes, thank you.
All right, well, Jill, one of the questions we like to ask here is, what is your go-to movie snack?
Okay, when I was a kid, my favorite movie snack was Junior Mints. I mean, yeah, I like popcorn. Yeah, you kind of have to have popcorn in a drink, but as far as like the additional thing, it was always Junior Mints.
Well, they're very refreshing.
Yeah, that's good. But as an adult, Nerds Rope. I am such a sucker for those stupid things because it's great because it kind of it's long and it gives you time to like eat it throughout the course of the movie. And if have you had a Nerds Rope before? Because they're fabulous.
I have to say I've never had one, but I will be trying that real soon.
Oh my God,
Definitely
yes.
sounds like something to do.
Absolutely. You have to, and there's different flavors. They're absolutely, it's really, it's a treat.
Sounds like it. Jill, as we said, you are a Legally Blonde super fan. What is it you love so much about the film?
It's the quintessential feel-good girl power movie. And you can't watch it without feeling better. I mean, you can watch it when you're sad and it'll pick you up. You can watch it when you're happy and it just adds to your day. I have a personal statement that I use in my public speaking and such that says that positivity is overrated. And sometimes people think that's a negative thing. And I'm definitely a positive thinker. I believe in the power of positive thinking, but I think it's absolutely impossible to think that you can sustain that constantly. And sometimes you need to kind of like let yourself yell or cry or just have a meltdown. And this movie, that is exactly what Elle Woods does. She kind of takes the time to, either sit in her bed watching TV and eating chocolates for a few days or crying or yelling. And then she gets back right into whatever it is that she needs to get done and get accomplished. And I think that the movie kind of, like of course, people that love the movie know that it brings a lot, but that's definitely what I think is the most impactful about it. It just makes you feel good.
I like where you're going that, it's important to have that kind of, self-therapy and like you said, just let it out. And sometimes you got to vent and yeah, I guess positivity can be overrated. You can't sustain it all the time.
It's not
And
good for you.
sometimes, no, it's not. So yeah. And it, I mean, th this is Mental Health Awareness Month, I believe.
Yes, I think
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
so that is I mean, nice little perfect addition to our discussion, getting that in there. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. How old were you the first time you saw Legally Blonde?
Okay, I don't know, to be honest. I didn't get to see it in the movies when it came out. My son was probably 8 or 9 at the time, and I was a single mom. So I never got to see anything that was not some kid's movie in the movie theater. Everything that I everything that I got to see, I either had to wait for it to come out on cable or wait for Blockbuster to have it. I'm a little old, so I was still, renting movies from Blockbuster.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the first time I saw it was when it was like actually on TV, on cable.
Okay. What would you say is the overall message of Legally Blonde?
I think Elle demonstrates for all women that you can be multifaceted and a successful woman. And you can exist outside of many different boxes, meaning that you can love fashion and that doesn't negate your intelligence factor. And I think sometimes, and of course, women have come a long way, but I think especially maybe when this was being filmed in the early 2000s, that we kind of get pigeonholed into the traditional, if you're going to go to law school, you got to look like this. And if you're going to go to college in LA, you got to look like this. So I think the message of the movie is just that you can be a woman and you don't necessarily have to fit into the predetermined box that it, that that you would typically be pushed into.
That's perfect, Joe. Very well said. Yeah, I'm in agreement. That's what I took from it.
See, great minds think long.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Jill, was there anything you didn't understand about Legally Blonde or anything you would change?
There really wasn't anything I didn't understand, but there is a huge thing that I would change.
Well, I'm very interested in hearing this.
Okay. In the beginning of the movie, when she goes to pick out an outfit that she's going to wear on her big date when she thinks she's being proposed to, she tries on what I think is this phenomenal, like turquoise type sequin dress.
Right.
Shiny, happy, looks good. And it's outside of, like she said, you know, it's the dress, right?
Right.
But then there's no segue into the changing of her choice into her traditional color, you know, the pink dress that she actually ends up wearing on the date. And as a writer, it bugs me because I know that you can't just make a leap like that. So I'm sure that something is on the cutting room floor somewhere that shows why she made the choice and the change, but it's not reflected in the movie and it's silly. But literally, I can't tell you how many times I've seen this movie, but every single time it bugs me.
I have to say, the many times I've seen it, I've never caught that, but I'm pretty sure I'll be looking for that real soon. Wow. Okay. Well, tell us how you really feel. That's awesome, Jill. What would you say you liked best about the movie?
It is hard to pick, and I know a lot of people say that, but it's hard to pick like one singular thing because there are so many great parts of the movie, which Absolutely. Is one of the reasons that the movie is so superior in all ways. But if I had to choose just one, it would, of course, be her graduation speech and in the line about believing in yourself. Because when it's all said and done, that's what's important.
Again, well said, Jill. As we go out here real quick, you get one quote. Of all the quotes in the movie, what would you say is your favorite quote?
Favorite, best, and the one that I truly have tried to live by is, if you're going to let one stupid prick ruin your life, then you're not the girl I thought you were.
That is perfect. That's a classic line.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jill, this has been a blast. I appreciate you coming on here, and I'm sure we'll have you back on here real soon. Best of luck in the movie battle.
I would love to. Thank you.
Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next guest is making her second appearance. Originally from Goldsboro, North Carolina, Rebecca Armstrong is a graduate of Meredith College. She is currently a elementary school teacher, teaching virtually. She lives in Youngsville, North Carolina with her husband, Kevin, and children, Beckett and Eva Claire. Rebecca, welcome back to Movie Battle.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Rebecca, the last time you were here, when I asked you who plays you in a movie about your life, you had two answers, Julia Stiles and Mandy Moore.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more I think about it, these are both very accurate portrayals of you. One, if you remember Julia Stiles in 10 Things I Hate About You, when she jumps on the table and starts dancing to Hypnotize. That just screams Rebecca.
Oh dear.
And also, you and I currently are rewatching This Is Us, and we've seen a lot of Mandy Moore, and there is definitely a similar look, and plus her name is Rebecca on that show, so every time she's on there, hey, reminds me of my wife. Hey, So there you go. Tell me again what your go-to movie snack is, because that changes from time to time.
I think if I go to the movie theater, it's Reese's Pieces. Almost always at the movie theater. Although sometimes Milk Duds.
That's it's a big change there. Some might say that's controversial. I don't know.
Milk Duds are controversial?
In some circles, yes.
I don't know why.
Hey, I just reporting what I hear.
Maybe dentist.
Big Dental is notorious for being against Milk Duds.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, Rebecca. You are a Devil Wears Prada super fan. What is it you love so much about the film?
That movie has a lot of different meanings for me. One is sentimental because my roommate gave me the book to read before the movie ever came out. And I read it and loved it. And then the movie came out and she and I went to the theater to see it together. And I'm not a big movie theater person. I'm usually wait for it to come out on DVD or whatever it comes out on now. So that was just a cool thing. Like, we were single, living, well, she might have been dating, but anyway, we were in our 20s, young, and went to see that movie, and I got to compare it to the books, which was really cool. And it is just such a great story about a girl fresh out of college with all these hopes and dreams, and I think everybody can kind of resonate with that. And and then just getting into, you know, she didn't, I guess you could call it corporate, but, you know, it was the fashion industry that she was in. But even like going into corporate out of college, I feel like it's a jarring experience when you come out of college. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So I think they do a good job kind of showing that and showing all that she did, you know, the way she changed herself to get the career that she really wanted, and then kind of at the end found herself again and realized, you know, that's not the life that she wanted.
Yeah, it's funny how, you know, yeah, she's out of college and just has such, you know, great ideals, and like you said, you know, big journalism graduate, won major awards, and she gets this job in fashion magazine. Obviously could care less about fashion, but, and just kind of, I don't know if too cool for school is the right way to describe her, but anyway, her journey goes through, and she goes through it and kind of becomes part of that world. And as you so eloquently said, she finds herself in the end and makes the move where she wants to be. It's amazing how the journey everyone's life has, where you just sometimes end up like, how did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going? But I think that's the best part is the journey.
Yeah. And I think for me, like straight out of college, I had no real idea of what in the world I was going to do with a psychology degree. I had always thought that I would go into teaching, but I kind of actually had a professor who sort of steered me away from education. And so I ended up like getting a minor in human resources and then kind of going into working for companies. And I was very not fulfilled in that. But my point being, you do start to like change a little bit in order to fit into that world, I guess. So I can kind of see that. And then, I mean, I would be all over the, you know, fashion stuff, and I would probably be like the her name is Emily, the other assistant. I would probably,
yeah, Emily, yes.
Yeah, I would be like her, like probably starving myself to fit into the all the name brand fashion or clothes and shoes and such.
Are you more of a Chanel or Prada, Louis Vuitton?
I've never owned any of that, so I really don't know. I think I would just eat it all up, to be honest. And it's kind of funny, like, I definitely see, like, I would be Andy 100% in that situation. Like, I would be the girl with the Gap clothes, like, the frayed hair. Totally, 100%. I would feel very out of place in a place like that. But I appreciate those designer clothes and brands and such.
Absolutely. In your time working for companies, did you ever have a boss that was very demanding like Miranda?
No, I didn't. I mean, I have to be careful what I say because I don't know who's going to listen. There was a boss's boss that was kind of like that, with the kind of demanding and kind of didn't understand when we couldn't anticipate what it was he wanted ahead of time, and like he wasn't super clear always, and so there was some of that, but he wasn't my direct boss, so my boss shielded me from some of it.
It worked out well for you.
Yeah. I'm trying to be careful.
Hey, I think you're walking a fine line, and you're on the right side of that. All right, so you're in your 20s when you saw this. You know, you and your old roommate, you go see it. You loved it. You loved the book. You loved the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say is the overall message of this movie? I know we just talked about, you know, the journey and everything. Is it female empowerment?
I mean, I guess if you look at Miranda's character, yes. Like, you know, at the end when she's talking about, like, her husband and her getting a divorce towards the end when they're in Paris, like, I think that really does show that high-powered women – often their marriages suffer, and then often the world judges them because they're not like your typical mother, or I don't want to say typical, but you know what I'm saying, like they're not around as much, and their career is very important to them, and I think people tend to judge women like that pretty harshly. So, but if I look at the Andy character, then I think the message is more just, you know, staying true to yourself and not selling yourself out for anything.
Was there anything you didn't understand about The Devil Wears Prada, or anything you would have changed?
You know, it doesn't bother me as much anymore because I've seen the movie probably 25 times. But when I first watched it coming from the book, there are artistic liberties that they took that I didn't care for. Like, some of the scenes in the middle, they kind of did like a montage?
Montage, yeah. Yes. Yeah, there are four actual big montages.
Yeah, so they took some of like the things that were in the book as like little small stories, and it was really, it made the book very good because you got to read very detailed descriptions of each of those little errands that she did. And so they like mashed it all into one. And so I didn't love that when I first saw the movie. It doesn't bother me now because it's been so long since I read the book. And then I really disliked their choice for the Christian character and the boyfriend, her boyfriend.
Okay, so Simon Baker and then Adrian Grenier.
Yeah, it just wasn't. And you know what? I also didn't like the character of... I didn't like the way they made Lily in the movie either. It wasn't very close to the character they described in the book. So,
book versus movie, who you got?
Book.
Book?
Yeah. But it's hard. I mean, I don't know. It's hard because Meryl Streep does such a fantastic job. And she is the one character in the movie that stays like very true to the book. And I know like when you read a book ahead of a film, a lot of times because you've already visualized what you think the people look like and you know, you've just visualized the whole thing in your head, then you watch the film and it's almost never going to be what you've, you know, pictured. So
yeah, that happens a lot with books and film when we do the adaptation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I think overall they did a really great job, and the Miranda character was spot on. They nailed that. She nailed that. Meryl Streep did.
Yeah, earned her record-setting 14th nomination for a Best Actress Academy Award.
Wow. Yeah, she definitely. I mean, Anne Hathaway does a awesome job. I mean, I love her as an actress, but and she did. She represents the character really well too. So I think the two leads did a great job and were pretty true to the book. So.
Okay. Well, Rebecca, you get one quote to go out on. What is your absolute favorite quote from The Devil Wears Prada?
Oh my gosh, I have three. One that always makes me laugh every time I've seen the movie, every time I watch the movie, is what I don't know the whole quote, but it's something like, "Please move at a glacial pace. You know how that thrills me." That one always makes me laugh. And then that's my one quote, I guess. But I have two others.
Okay. Well, maybe you can break those out during the battle portion.
Maybe so.
All right. Well, Rebecca, thank you for making your second appearance here. I'm sure you'll be back. And best of luck in the movie battle.
Thanks.
All right, party people, it's the moment you've been waiting for. Time for the movie battle. Going first, representing Legally Blonde, Jill Brandenburg. Jill, talk to me.
All right, so Legally Blonde is the best movie because of a few reasons. And the first is, this is not your typical chick flick rom-com. Because in the beginning, of course, you may think that it's about her getting back her boyfriend, but it's so much more than that. It becomes a story about Elle finding herself as a woman, finding herself as in her place in the world, and kind of proven to not just herself, but to her family and her friends and everyone around her that she's more than just, you know, blonde hair and big boobs, like she says in the movie. And I think that it resonates with a lot of women. I think that's, this is one of those movies that no matter what state of mind you're in, you can leave it feeling a little bit better about yourself and feeling a little bit more empowered. And I think that movies that bring that to you are always just a step above of everything else. And nothing against the movie that we're up against, but this one is just on a whole other level.
Wow. All right, Rebecca, The Devil Wears Prada.
Well, it is hard to argue with that. Jill, I love the movie Legally Blonde, and when Kevin put these two movies against each other, I was sort of mad because I don't really want to choose between the two, but I think everything you said about Legally Blonde is, I 100% agree with. And I really love how that movie shows all the things you said, you know, and as maybe men too, but I do definitely think women get wrapped up into what other people think of them and sometimes stepping into that and being what someone else thinks. So I think that The Devil Wears Prada has a little bit of that too, but in a backwards way. I feel like Andy knows herself really well going into the job, but then loses herself to try to be like everyone else and then finds herself again at the end. So I think it has a little bit of that too. And I just, for the reason I chose The Devil Wears Prada is really the character of Miranda, played by Meryl Streep. Like, I just feel like that was just a strong performance.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. She is the boss that you wish you had, but you never want.
Yeah, and Kevin and I were talking a little too about, you know, I think Miranda stands for this woman in power, and you know, it even shows that her marriage kind of suffered because of that. And she was talking about in the movie about the press and how the press was going to have a field day with this, because I think as far as we have come in 2020, there is still this thing about women being in those types of roles and being mothers.
Agreed. Now, I will say one thing about Legally Blonde against The Devil Wears Prada is that the characters in Legally Blonde are supportive in that they were your blind faith. Whatever you do, they're going to, you know, be supportive and be right there with you, ride or die. You know, it's the friends you wanted to have in your 20s. And I think when you get to The Devil Wears Prada, it's where you're having to take some accountability. I mean, they're both very representative of a certain place of life. Because when you get to The Devil Wears Prada, it's like you can't be that reckless, you know, kind of young-minded thinker and the idealistic way that kind of Legally Blonde sort of just thinks everything's going to work out and we're just going to push through. And I think The Devil Wears Prada kind of turns it, like you said, it's sort of backwards. It's the opposite of it, that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think looking at, I mean, I don't know, I'm supposed to go against my movie here, but I think looking at the movies from the message, I think we probably do have a stronger message in Legally Blonde. And I think I really picked The Devil Wears Prada more based on, like I said, the actors and the way they play the roles. And I had read the book. I haven't read Legally Blonde. I might need to read that book.
Yes, I have not read either. I feel bad because I know I should, because I'm really excited about Amanda Brown's. I want to read the book. I will say, and I'm not supposed to go against my movie either. However, obviously, the clothes, I mean, there's the lightheartedness and the fun about Elle's clothing, which is great, but you cannot beat the clothing in The Devil Wears Prada. I want that Chanel necklace that goes with the hat. One of these days, I'm going to find it somewhere, but yeah, so the clothing in Devil Wears Prada is probably, you get a point for that. So,
yeah, I think that's what I also think. I am I appreciate good fashion and I love designer clothes. I love looking at them. And I was a big Sex and the City, you know, I was big into that when it was popular. But I've never owned not even one designer thing ever. So I really resonate with Andy. Like, I feel like if I was there in that environment, I would stand out like a sore thumb, like she did in the beginning. So I think that's another thing for me is that I've just always been kind of dorky. So I think
I have in my personal life from my 20s until I am now much older, I do have better stuff. And I really kind of sold your soul the first time you put those Jimmy Choo's on. Yeah. I get that. I got a pair of, I have one pair, but I do have a pair of Louboutins that are in my closet. And you do, it is a different thing to put on a designer pair of shoes or clothing or any of that. It does. I get it. And I can see, I resonate with Andy's belief because you do, you put that on and you are a different person. Mm-hmm. And you do have to keep yourself grounded. I think that's one of the things that Elle does so well. And I think Reese Witherspoon actually does well in all of her movies, is she's very grounded. And even when it seems like she's this flighty, maybe, I mean, she's intelligent. You know that the first scene in the dress shop where she shoots down the lady that thinks she's a dumb blonde. Every movie she does, I think she kind of breaks that barrier of I am an intelligent, strong woman. And I love that about her. I like you were saying, as far as the characters, I think they nailed it with every one of the actors that they got to play in Legally Blonde. They just nailed it. I couldn't visualize another person playing that part. So
yeah, I agree with that. I think you know, sometimes reading the book before watching a movie kind of ruins the movie because they change some stuff. And also, as you read, you're visualizing what you think Andy looks like and what you think, you know, this handsome man looks like that she, you know, gets involved with. So I was very disappointed with the Christian that they chose.
I know.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. Because, see, I think Emmett is the perfect nice guy. He seems like somebody that's, you know, a couple years out of law school. He just is the quintessential kind of hero in the rom-com, right? And Christian was not, I don't know, maybe it's the blonde curly hair thing. I don't know what it is. So something about him just didn't fit the part for me.
Yeah, same here. And the way they describe him in the book, like, you just expect him to be like just strikingly handsome and just, you know, I don't know, he just didn't fit the part at all. Yeah. And even Andy's boyfriend, I didn't totally love that casting either.
Yeah. Now her two friends, I think were dead on. I think that they were very, very good, because they again, like I said, they are that evolution of, now we're going to hold you accountable for the person that you are kind of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I had just watched, like y'all know, I'm the super fan. I had just watched the 20-year Zoom reunion that they did for Legally Blonde. I don't know if you've seen this. It's on YouTube if you haven't.
I saw that it exists.
I haven't
watched it yet.
It's fantastic.
I need to watch that.
And they kind of, you know, gave a few of their audition stories or stories of things that happened on the set. And one of the two cheerleaders, Serena and Margot. So Margot had already, the blonde Margot had already gotten the part. And Serena, the brunette, was in the bathroom trying to put some lipstick on to go and do her audition. When Margot had come in, and I can't think of Margot's real name. But she comes in. And she's like, and the brunette is like, do you have some lipstick? I don't like this lipstick. She goes, it was like we were in a bar and she was trying to borrow my lipstick. And she says, I can't do this audition with this lipstick. You know, can you give me some? And she's like, I can't make rent. I have to get this part. And so she said that they worked together and they actually choreographed some of the reading. And so they went in and she helped her get the part and just nailed it. And so it's, and now they're best friends, and they've been best friends since the movie. So there's those things I think that you take away from that whenever you think and hope that they're good friends, and then you find out after the fact that they're good friends, it just reinforces what you think about the movie.
That's awesome. Somehow,
yeah. I don't think Andy is, beautiful. You know, is braiding Miranda's hair and telling stories on a Saturday.
No, I don't think they are. Yes. Although I'd like to think that her and Emily Blunt became friends. But
oh, yeah. Well, now that was the perfect cast.
You know,
because yes. She killed it. That was phenomenal.
Actually, a good story. When Emily Blunt married John Krasinski, I think 2010, the cast was real tight. They did all become friends, and she invited them all to her wedding. Stanley Tucci actually met Emily Blunt's sister, Felicity, I believe, and they're married now. Yeah, so it's great hearing these stories for these, you know, you love these characters and you want it to be, you know, real in real life, and when you hear stuff like that, it is kind of good. It makes you feel all nice and and warm inside.
That is a good story. I had not heard that.
Yeah, that is. That's awesome. I like that. I think The Devil Wears Prada is kind of a different rom-com movie, too. Like, it's not so much about the girl chasing the guy or the guy chasing the girl, you know? Like, it's more about her journey. And then there's just, like, some dudes in her life, you know? Like,
that's a very good representation of it. It's, yeah, there's guys in it, but yeah, I mean, it's the you know, the theme for both of these has been the women's empowerment.
I will say this though, that in comparison, The Devil Wears Prada, and I know, you know, it's loosely based on some things that happen in real life, but as the mother of an attorney, you can imagine how much he hates Legally Blonde. He laughed when I told him I was going to do this, and he said, "Oh, well, you are a super fan," because when she is studying for the LSAT, and I think she gets a 143 on the practice test, and then she gets a 179. That's not possible, Mom. That would never happen in real life. And it bugs him that Elle got, you know, 179 on LSATs, which of course, you know, in real life didn't occur. But he said that when he was in law school, and he went to Notre Dame for law school, and he said I think it was at law school that one of the professors was like, pick a movie, a law movie that you want to watch, you know, and they had chosen one of the movie, you know, a law movie that you could watch in the class for one of their activities. And he says, and I'll tell you right now, it cannot be Legally Blonde. And it's funny in a way, but I know it's sad. I know a lot of attorneys talk about all of the things that are wrong, inconsistent, not applicable. You know, a first year law student can't represent anybody in court. And so a lot of those things wouldn't have existed, you know, in reality. But even Reese Witherspoon has said that the amount of women or girls that have come up to her in the last 20 years and told her that they literally went to law school because of this movie is just more than she could have ever thought that this movie would bring to society. And how many girls' lives were changed because they saw that and knew that they could do it and went off. And it's not so much of a stretch for a girl to go into, you know, a fashion magazine, but it is definitely, you know, I think Legally Blonde has done great things for the law profession, even if it's not exact.
Wow. Yeah. I did not realize that. And honestly, I never even have thought of that. Like, that is really cool. I might have to change my mind in the middle of the podcast, Kevin. As a teacher,
I'm obviously winning this battle. This is a good thing.
Yeah, I as a teacher, like, the fact that students have found, or, you know, young women have found inspiration in the movie to pursue higher education like that and go to law school. That's awesome. That, yeah. I did not know that. That was really cool.
Yes.
It's amazing when, you know, the power of a movie when stuff like, I mean, that's something like, the first thing I can think of is like Top Gun. There a lot of people wanted to become pilots. So there was, you know, an increase in that. So that's just great that, you know, to have that influence on just generations of women.
Top Gun, great movie.
Going to law school.
Excellent movie, yes.
It's a classic.
Yes.
I will be seeing part two whenever they get
around
to
put it out. You know, I wonder
if
Legally Blonde influenced women to go to law school. I wonder if Devil Wears Prada discouraged women from going into the fashion industry.
Well, okay. I think it may have discouraged a few from going and working at Vogue, maybe, but not as a whole. I mean, can you imagine though? I mean, honestly, being able to go into the sample closet, that is, Now, I do have kind of a funny story. So I was, before I kind of started having my own businesses, I mentioned I worked in graphic design for a long time. And one of the places, I was a temp artist, so I would get to go in and work graphic design at a lot of these different businesses. And one of them was at Neiman Marcus.
Oh, wow.
And I got to come in a couple of times and work on the Christmas book and do the layout and stuff, and you do the pages, but in a much smaller and not nearly as theatrical of a setting as the one in Devil Wears Prada, there is a sample room at Neiman Marcus. And I got to go in there a couple times, but one of them was whenever they, you know, the Christmas book that comes out every year and it's the big deal and they do it on the, you know, news and have announced. Well, what they do for the people that work there is they have a big carnival because you've been working and you've been working really hard. And so they do this big carnival and you kind of have the day off and you get to go downstairs and play games and they have the warehouse all set up. But the way they launch the day is with a fashion show from the employees that have gotten to pick items and wear the clothing from the sample closet in the fashion show. And I got to wear an outfit from Alexander McQueen.
Oh my goodness, that's so cool.
So I do get the Andy, I get that feeling of how she felt when she went in there and saw all those clothes. But no, I mean, I'm sure that there are a lot of girls that grew up and loved fashion and didn't realize that there was an industry as far as a journalistic one that they could go into and be a writer about.
So. Yeah. And I think I would be blown away. I think the devil would have my soul the second I tried on any of those clothes. and I would probably have to go on the, whatever that diet is that Emily talks about in the movie where she has like, she's hungry and then she drinks water or something or eats a piece of cheese or something like that to fit into any of it. But I think I definitely could see myself doing that. I think it's, you know, I think it's a movie about how easy it is to get caught up in that kind of a world because, I mean, who wouldn't want to wear designer clothes and go to Paris? Like, you know?
And again, yeah, like you said, she gets confronted by that because her boyfriend, you know, tells her, you know, you used to make fun of these girls and now you are one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the nice things about Legally Blonde is that Elle truly, I mean, I think deep down, even when she was like, you know, before she kind of ventured off and went to law school, I think you could see that there was something inside and deep inside of her that she knew she was more and better and bigger than what she was kind of relegating herself to.
Mm-hmm.
But she did it and maintained her style and her fashion. And that really is kind of one of the definitive parts of this movie is that as a girl, you can, you know, look good. I loved the, and I'm sure the cinematographer, whoever did the theory of the movie, realized the juxtaposition of, you know, the bright clothing that she had on with the backdrop of Harvard, because you see, you know, it's the, everybody is in the cold clothes and the, you know, and they've got on, you know, the browns and the blacks and all of this kind of thing. And then she has like what, a purple hat on and the Playboy Hugh Hefner smoking jacket type thing on. So I think it's just, it demonstrates that you can stand out and still, I don't want to say fit in, but yeah, you can stand out while you fit in.
Yeah. And I really think that in The Devil Wears Prada, we have the same kind of thing, but in the exact opposite. Like, she walks in to Miranda's office and she sticks out like a sore thumb, but, you know, not in a, I mean, I feel like, well, I don't know. The people at Harvard didn't think it was good. Like, who is this girl? Like, you know? And that's kind of how they treat her, Andy, in the office when she walks in and like her polyester sweater.
Andy would have fit right in Harvard.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very interesting. In getting ready to do this, I was thinking about all the like, complete opposites happen in each movie. But I think overall, I love Reese Witherspoon. She's one of my favorite actresses ever. I also love Anne Hathaway, but I really think that Meryl Streep just, that's why I said I'm a super fan of it.
Yeah, she did make that movie. I can't, like I said, you know, there's a lot of characters that you can't imagine anybody else playing that part. And Miranda and Meryl Streep is definitely one of those. So,
yeah. Yep.
Now, let me ask y'all a question. Sometimes I like to kind of play fantasy football with the actors and the actresses. Just imagine Anne Hathaway has blonde hair. Could she have played the role of Elle and vice versa? Could Reese Witherspoon, could you swap her out and have her play Andy?
I'm going to stand on the Legally Blonde bandwagon and the Reese Witherspoon, you know, fangirl, and say that I think that Reese could play Andy, but I don't know. I'm sorry, that Reese and Elle and Andy could switch. Yeah.
Okay.
Because Anne Hathaway's great, but I think it took a specific kind of tenor, that she just has that something that I think is the reason that she can do so many different parts.
Yeah.
Rebecca, what do you think?
I was going to say the same thing. I think Reese could play Andy, but I don't think Anne Hathaway could have played Elle.
I mean, she's played a princess before. That was my initial thought. What is it, Enchanted or The Princess?
I forget the name of that movie.
Is it The Princess Bride? Great movie.
No, not The Princess Bride. Like The Princess Diaries or Enchanted.
Oh, Princess Diaries. That's it.
He played it, and then there's another movie. It's not called Enchanted, but it's something where she, there is like a fairy tale movie she's in. But it's even still, like, I can't see her doing
it. And if you think about it, the movie where Anne Hathaway, where she plays the princess and her grandmother is Julie Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think Anne Hathaway plays off very well with these strong, iconic women. But I, like you kind of said, you know, Meryl Streep sort of makes that movie. So nothing against Anne Hathaway, but it's definitely, Reese definitely carries the movie in a different way.
Yeah, I don't think I could see Anne Hathaway playing Elle. I don't think she would be right. Mm-mm. Even with blonde hair.
Okay. All right. Just a question. All right. Well, Rebecca, Jill, this has been amazing. I love how this conversation has gone. Just lots of, you know, positive vibes. And like I said, these are both great movies, and I would think most people that are fans of one are going to, you know, be fans of the other one. So, and Rebecca, yes, you did get pretty upset with me when I
understandably, it is a hard, it's a hard fight.
This is a hard matchup.
All right. Well, okay. So before we get out of here, I want each of you to just kind of give your final thought, your final take, for your movie, then we'll close on out. Okay, Jill, you want to go first?
Sure. There's two things about this movie. One thing that it taught me, and one thing that it left with me. I think the one thing that it really taught me was that exercise gives you endorphins, and endorphins make you happy, and happy people don't kill their husbands.
They just don't.
And I am a true crime kind of, I'm a Dateline junkie. And I will tell you that that little nugget of knowledge is very important when you are watching those kind of shows to determine whether or not the spouse did it. And so I am grateful for that little kind of nugget of information that it left me with. And then also, it's just when it's all said and done, it's just like I said before, when she gives her graduation speech and she says that it's important, you know, to believe in yourself. And this movie, it is everything that it is because it leaves you with that. That when it's all said and done, that's what you've got to do is believe in yourself and you can accomplish just about anything.
Well said, Jill. Very well said. Okay, Rebecca.
I think, I think we have a very clear winner here tonight. It's not me. But no, I think The Devil Wears Prada, I really just, when it comes down to it, I love the fashion. I loved the story of this girl that, you know, is just so eager to go into her career. And I think that she thought it was going to be a lot easier than it ended up being to get into journalism. And, you know, she goes after it. She goes after it and she gets completely lost and finds herself in this place of like, what am I doing? Who have I become? And she turns it around, which I really appreciate. And then just the Meryl Streep in that movie just is what won it over for me. So,
all right. Well, Jill, Rebecca, I really appreciate both of y'all being on here. This has been one of my favorite episodes. So thanks again. And I look forward to having both of y'all back here on Movie Battle.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Movie Battle. I'd like to give special thanks to our guests, Jill Brandenburg and Rebecca Armstrong, for participating. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you really enjoyed it, please recommend to a friend and share on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for coming correct.